Hey guys, Trevor here with E-Commerce Paradise. Today's talk is going to be all about my experience with an MLM pyramid scheme company and why I quit and went 100% into e-commerce dropshipping. So let's get into the talk. My experience was really interesting, and I wanted to do this because I actually made a video on my YouTube channel not too long ago, and it was about the World Financial Group MLM pyramid scheme company that I was a part of in early 2013. And I wanted to tell my story because I kind of had a bad experience with that company. And I realized that the company isn't what they say they are, and that their MLM, their scheme, has all these weird intricate rules. And so once you get into it, you think you're going to make money. Well, it turns out you have to do all this other stuff in order to get anywhere. And they take a lot of your money up front and don't leave you any kind of good guidance after you get past the first steps. They kind of let you on the go. So they really kind of screwed me over. And I was doing e-commerce dropshipping before that. I actually started in 2011. I had a couple years of good dropshipping experience, and I wanted to quit my job, but dropshipping wasn't a full-time income for me yet. So I wanted an extra side of income. So I started, you know, looking for other things. And it happened to be my friend in Los Angeles. He actually was in WFG. And so I got interested in MLMs because I was also reading the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. He talks about MLM is one of the best ways to start as an entrepreneur because you'll learn how businesses work and you'll learn how marketing works and sales works. And it's true. You do learn a lot about marketing and sales through an MLM. And you also learn how to not market and how to not sell to people because you'll piss a lot of people off doing what WFG and other MLMs want you to do. So I'm going to talk a little bit about MLM first and like what a pyramid scheme is. A pyramid scheme is basically a company where the products are not sold over the counter. You can't really buy them in a store anywhere. They're only sold through distributors, which happen to usually be your friends mostly. Because the way an MLM pyramid scheme works with their marketing is they do network marketing. So you market only to your network. You're not supposed to market outside your network, online, or anything like that. But you just basically, you know, call up your friends, have a meeting with them, and try to sell them on the products and sell them on the business model and recruit them. So with that being said, there's a lot of different types of MLMs out there. The one I was a part of, WFG and Transamerica, as it's known as, or WFG, World Financial Group, it's a financial services MLM, and they also deal with life insurance, which happens to be cash value life insurance for their model. But there are other models like them that sell term life insurance and mutual funds. So there's a lot of different types. Some MLMs out there are beauty products, and some are health products, like what's the name of the one? Herbalife is the health product one I can think of. And for beauty products, I think the biggest one is Mary Kay, people know about, and there's Nu Skin as well. But yeah, the one I was with was a financial services company because that kind of seemed, it was the closest thing to what I was most interested in doing, which is making money. So here's the thing about the MLMs. Like I was saying, they're trained mostly to recruit people. They want to recruit people into their business model. They want to sell, but selling comes second from recruiting. Their main focus is recruiting. So whoever that they sit down with to have a sales presentation with when they get certified and they actually can sell the life insurance, at the end of the presentation, they offer the business model as well if they're interested, and they really try to pitch them on that. Now, if they're recruiting them, then they once they get in and they start, then they sell them on the insurance. They say you have to buy the insurance if you're going to sell it because then you won't know how to sell it, and that's part of their plan. So it's all based around recruiting, which is how the MLM pyramid scheme structure is set up, is based on a pyramid of recruiting. So the person who comes in is recruited by somebody, and then that somebody calls all their friends for them and invites them to a business meeting, and they come out, and then hopefully out of like 10 people, you'll get one or two, maybe three people to actually join with the company. And for WFG, the join fee is $100. And once you get in, you get this little booklet of information if you're lucky. A lot of the people that I recruited that I, you know, were under me actually didn't even get the booklet because they just happened to be out of the office. It was a really, badly run office. But once they get past the basic stage, then you have to have, then the person there calls their people. And so you have to recruit three and three and three and three. So it looks like a pyramid. That's why it's called a pyramid scheme. So the basic essence of it is that, you know, they pretty much make you, or they call themselves, your entire family and friend network and invite them on the business meeting, which really is more of a seminar at the local office, a sales seminar. You know, it's a webinar, but in person. And so, their basic essence is to sell them on the business model. And yeah, it will ruin your reputation with your family and friends, especially if you've never like really had an entrepreneurial discussion with your family or friends before. Trying to recruit them into an entrepreneurial venture is the worst possible idea you can ever have in your life. It will make them look at you and act and treat you differently in the future for the rest of your life, pretty much. So yeah, my story started with my friend. He was in WFG. And so I got interested in what MLMs were because of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And so I started looking them up and I found one near me on through a Craigslist ad, and it was called Synergy Insurance Services. And it was kind of a, it was a break off because what I ended up learning is that the guy who started that company used to work with WFG and he was making a lot of money, but got pissed at the other leads in the company, the other people at the top, and decided to break off and create a copycat company. And he called it Synergy Insurance Services. And that company ended up, well, actually, no, I think he called it something else. But Patrick Bet David is his name, if that means anything. But he has a YouTube channel, I think, too. You can look him up. But he made a company, I think it was like People Helping People or something like that, PHP. And then, yeah, Synergy was an offset of that. So it's just like all these people making all these different pyramid schemes within pyramid schemes and outside of pyramid schemes and new pyramid schemes. And really the essence is that, and why they do it is because, you know, after a little while of running one, you get so much of a bad rap and you end up getting all these reviews, negative reviews online, that you have to change your name, right? Or else you're not going to be in business anymore. You're not going to be able to recruit new people. They're always going to look you up and find negative reviews and not want to do the business model. So they always have to be changing their name all the time. So don't be surprised if you can't find information about one of them online because they don't even exist anymore or something like that, or because they're so new, you know? So yeah, I ended up trying to look them up, no reviews. So I was like, fine, you know, let's join it. So it wasn't that bad. I actually got a little bit of good education from that one. They did a good job in that office. But of course, the recruiting process just dead, because my friends are skateboarders mostly back then. And none of the skateboarders were interested in being entrepreneurs. You know, they had jobs or whatever, or they were sponsored and, you know, they're interested in skateboarding. That was it. And then my family isn't anywhere near the office, so they couldn't come in physically. So that was out of the question. So I was screwed from day one. And once I realized that was the main business model, that I couldn't recruit outside of my network, I realized there was no way I was going to make it in there because my network just wasn't the right people. And so, you know, there you go. So I decided to quit that and then get on with WFG, which my skateboarder friend from Los Angeles is actually in that. And because he was a sponsored skateboarder and got really badly injured and couldn't do that anymore, so he needed something. And he kind of got really lucky, actually. He was recruiting outside of his network and got lucky and found the person. I mean, literally, like, this is, you know, this is not what usually happens in this. They only want you to recruit through your network. So what ended up working out for him was he found somebody, and that guy happened to have a really good network and he got lucky there. So, I mean, that's how it is. Like the people at the top, they just got lucky. They find somebody who has a big network and is the right type of person to recruit people and doesn't really think much, you know, it just does what they're told, is coachable, which is the kind of people they want to work with. And then that's it. And then they recruit them. So, you know, the only reason I really wanted to join in the first place was because I wanted to get out of my day job, right? I wanted to quit and I wanted to become free. It was this one summer when I was having an epiphany during like a backpacking trip. It was out in the woods in the North Cascades, because I go out there every year with my dad to go backpacking. And I realized, you know, I could start my own business. I've seen my friends do it before, and it's actually, you know, not as difficult as I had figured, or not as far off. It was more within reach once I saw a friend doing it. My friend started a skateboard brand, and I was like, well, shit, if he starts a skateboard brand, I can start a skateboard brand. I want to start one, you know, I want to kind of join and ride that wave, you know, of energy. And so I did that, and, you know, it worked out pretty well at first, and then it slumped because I didn't know what I was doing. So I took some school classes, and took business at the local community college. And during that time, I learned a whole lot about business and personal finance and marketing and sales and advertising and accounting and all these different things and business law. So I learned a lot, but you know, and I started my first dropshipping business while I was in school, and in 2011, like I was saying, and 2011 we did 50,000 in sales. 2012 we did 75,000 in sales, and in 2013 we did 100,000 in sales. And 2013 was the year I did the MLM. So, and 2013, by the way, January 2013 is when I got fired from my job. So it worked out really well, and you know, the way it went down was in mid 2012, I started reading all these books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, 4-Hour Workweek, and How to Win Friends and Influence People and Think and Grow Rich. All these books are books that are just essential entrepreneur books. And you have to read them if you haven't yet, if you're an entrepreneur and you want to grow your business and your lifestyle, of course. So I think the essence of those books brought me to believe that I could do it. And that was the beauty of it, is that my attitude and my belief system changed about what was possible in life. And that was the key. So, but what happened after that was different, because I didn't know what to do. I knew I could do it, but I didn't know how to do it or what to do exactly. So I had to keep reaching out in different places, because dropshipping was great and it was working, but it wasn't a full-time income yet. Making a few hundred extra bucks a month wasn't enough. And Los Angeles is a very expensive city. Now, if you're living in somewhere like Chiang Mai, Thailand, it's very cheap. You can make it on, you know, $500 to $1,000 a month. Dropshipping out here, yeah, that's true. But if you want to live in the Western world, you're going to have to make a few $1,000s a month at the minimum to survive and get by. So that was the key, and I needed extra income. I wasn't planning on getting laid off from my job. I was planning on quitting my job, and I would need a full-time income before I could do that. And so I made the plans, and I had the dropship business for part-time, and I really wanted to get this MLM going so I have a couple extra $1,000s a month coming in from commissions there. But through that experience and through the whole process of getting integrated into the business, I started changing the way I looked and changing the way I acted. I started losing any kind of drive I had in my job. Well, before that, I was like the hardest working salesman at the company. I was always taking the phone calls as soon as they came in. I was working diligently to get people the correct solutions to their products. If there was ever a problem, I was just the first one to hop on it. I was doing big quotes. I was doing everything I could to max out my potential at that job in the workplace. I went through a couple different yearly exams where the guys were just blown away at what I was doing at the company. And they promoted me to salesman. They promoted me to have my own back office cubicle. And then I owned my own office at that point too. And a lot of what I was doing at that time was learning new things. There was always downtime. And, my coworkers and other salesmen at the company, what they were doing a lot was watching YouTube videos, like stupid, like funny cat videos or fail videos or whatever on their downtime, where I was sitting and learning things. And so I started taking action while I learned, and I actually created an e-commerce site, and I started adding products from a supplier that we got, and I started making sales. So it was pretty amazing that during the same downtime that they were using to just, you know, do whatever and relax, I was actually building a business. I was actually working on that business before I went to work in the morning. I wake up an hour early to work on the site for an hour, and I do it every night after I got back after school. I would work on the website, and then all weekend long I was just working on the website. My life became less about partying and skateboarding and more about building a business, and it was really fascinating. Going through the learning process, I didn't have any particular courses to take or mentors, so I was learning a lot just by reading blogs and by, you know, taking action. Read blogs, take action. Read blog, take action. A lot of the early things that I read that taught me about content marketing and inbound marketing was Seth Godin's books. He was a huge influence in my life. Permission Marketing and The Dip, which is a really good inspirational book, and Tribes, which is really amazing, and Purple Cow. I think that was the best one, Purple Cow, because it made me realize I had to make my e-commerce business different and stick out from the rest of the e-commerce businesses out there by creating a story and telling a story and connecting people. And so reading all those books together taught me how to do all these things in a concerted effort to create content marketing, to bring in the social media, to do email marketing, and so that I didn't have to wait for the search engine traffic to get sales. I could bring sales in through social media traffic, and then the content marketing eventually did post to the organic search results, and then I got a ton of search result traffic to my product pages and started making tons of sales there. But that wasn't until, you know, 2013 when we started our own website, and 2014 we started really gaining traction with it. So that was where the MLM came into play. And I started going to work wearing a full suit and tie and you know, pretty much showing up the boss. The boss of the brand, she would walk around, you know, with a polo and some jeans on, looking like, you know, it's his day off. And I was all suited up, and he didn't like that. And then, you know, I started going into my office and actually just closing the door and working on my e-commerce site full time. I didn't really care. I didn't answer the phones. I was so burnt out because he was showing favoritism to a lot of the other employees at the office. When things needed to be done, he would give them to me, not the employees. And when the employees wanted to take time off, he'd give it to them. And when I wanted to take off time, he wouldn't give it to me. And so, you know, there was a lot of favoritism going on, a lot of office politics I really didn't dig. And so I decided to do what I could do, which was just ignore and to work on my own thing, because I knew I wanted to build my own thing to get out of that situation. And it worked out really well. It got under his skin so much. And by the time they actually had a business meeting early January 2013 to introduce to the company that they were going to have to move the building over again, because I actually helped them move from one building to another, and it was a big pain in the ass, and I was a big part of that process, but they were going to do it again, and I really wasn't interested in being a part of that, and it was a good time for me to get out anyways, and I didn't show up to the meeting because they had the meeting before work started, and they didn't want to pay overtime. Then they were skirting the law on that one, and I was over that too. I said, I'm not going to show up early to work if I'm not going to pay overtime to go there. And so, you know, I got in there, and they just said, Trevor, you know what? You're fired. You can go home. And I said, fine. And I grabbed the couple things I had left, because I had actually cleared out my office almost completely every single day that week, because I was planning on quitting anyways. And I only had a couple things left, and I grabbed them and walked out as quickly as I could and quietly as I could, said bye to a couple people, and that was it. And then it was from there, it was just really cool, because I went home and I called my wife, and she said, girlfriend at the time, she said, you know, file for unemployment immediately. And I said, okay, fine, I'll file for unemployment. And I did. And I got a call, you know, 20 minutes later from the boss saying, hey, would you be open to not filing unemployment if we pay you for this next 2 weeks? And I kind of laughed and said, sorry, man, like, that's really nice of you guys, but I've already filed unemployment. Because I knew California has a great law with unemployment. If you work long enough and you make enough money, you can actually make half your paycheck for an entire year after that. So that's what I did. And I was really lucky there, because I was able to make half my paycheck for the next year. That was literally a part-time job for me. And along with the dropshipping business, that was able to make a full-time income. And I even had connections with locksmiths that were the customers of where I worked at, that needed people to work for them on their internet businesses. And I had a part-time work there too. So I was able to make ends meet, and I was able to build my business and relax finally. I was able to work from home, and it was just the most amazing experience in my life. I was able to do this MLM stuff, but I learned so much going through the MLM, and it was just ridiculous. And I really wanted to let you guys know, like, why I chose e-commerce dropshipping over doing multi-level marketing and network marketing, because I know that some people out there actually do this stuff and like it. And unfortunately, I end up getting a ton of comments from these people that are super harsh. And I've never known any other company with agents that are willing to go out and name call people that leave review videos of their business model online. If you do like a negative review for like Remax or something to be a real estate agent, you're not going to have a bunch of Remax agents going to your comment on your feed on your video and leaving a bunch of negative reviews, calling you names and stuff like that, and belittling you as a person. And it was just blowing my mind, because the agents represent the company. And so for World Financial Group to have all these agents coming after me, really, really feels like World Financial Group is coming after me, leaving me negative comments and calling me names and stuff like that on my YouTube review video. So I'm going to link to that review video below on my channel so you can see it. It's really interesting. Read through the comments and see what they talk about. Every single comment where they call me names, I avoid calling them names back. I just state facts and I state my experience, and that's it. One guy in particular has a YouTube channel called WFG Business, and it's so funny because he just posts videos from their live talks. And if you watch these videos, it's just the most ridiculous nonsense what they're saying. A lot of it is just straight brainwashing, and that is the essence of their business. It is brainwashing their agents into becoming pretty much slaves. You pretty much have to... you have to give them so much information about the business model and financial education and stuff like that. It literally blows their mind, makes them say, okay, screw it, I don't care. Just whatever you say is true, and I'll follow your lead. Because they tell you, you have to be coachable and all this stuff. And it's just part of the plan of like making you one of their slaves, making you do what they want you to do. And it's pretty sad. And you know, I fell for that for a few months there, and I was trying to recruit, and I actually made some sales, and I feel kind of bad because the products aren't even that great. And I'll talk about that for a second. WFG and Transamerica sells life insurance, right? And the type of life insurance they sell, there's two different types of life insurance out there. There's cash value life insurance and there's term life insurance. And cash value life insurance is this really weird investment combination of life insurance plus a cash value investment. So the way it works is that you actually have to buy the insurance, life insurance, normal life insurance, which costs a lot more than term life insurance does, mind you. And then a small percentage of that goes into a cash value account. And as you put in money over time, you start off, you pay way more than insurance than you should, and like hardly anything goes into your savings account. But then after a long time, 20, 30 years of doing this, you'll finally get a a good chunk in your savings account, and the ratio will go up for your savings and down for the life insurance. And by the time you go to retire, you have this huge chunk. But the key is you can't take the cash out or you'll get taxed on it. It's a taxable investment when you take money out. So what they do is they take loans out from that investment. You take loans every single month, you know, and for the rest of your life until you die. And then when you die, the loan pays itself off. So it's like the weirdest investment vehicle, but that's how they pitch it, because it's like a tax-free loan, but really it's not. It's just basically avoiding tax. And there's a big problem with it. The problem is that it's an extremely expensive investment for what it is. And there's way better investments that will get you a way higher return on your money. It's made for rich people. It's made for extremely rich people. It's not made for the people that WFG sells it to, which are friends and family of middle income families. And you know, there's another business, of course, the term life insurance that sells, you sell term life insurance bundled with mutual funds. And while that's a little bit better, you know, and it's a lot better for the target market, still term life insurance is not something you really need, unless you have a family that you're trying to protect and you're the sole breadwinner in that household. And, you know, and then, yeah, sure, you need some life insurance, and term life insurance is much better because it's much cheaper, less expensive. Of course, term life insurance, you buy it and it's gone. So you pretty much spent money and that money's gone. So that's one of the pitching points of cash value, is that, well, you spend money and there's money there afterwards, but trust me, it's a lot more expensive. And then of course there's mutual funds, which, if you know anything about investing, you know mutual funds are more of a way to hedge your bets than a way to make money. There's high fees on those and they really don't make that much margin compared to direct investments, like angel investments or real estate investments, or, you know, investing in internet businesses. Obviously the margins are much higher there. And so it's not really a place for investors. It's a place for middle income families, hardworking individuals who don't do investments, who don't know how to invest. It's a place for them to put their money for the future. And it's not even the best way to do that, because, you know, IRAs are really the best way to do it. A Roth IRA, where, you know, you put money in after taxes and you pull it out and it's tax free. And then even an IRA, where, you know, your money is tax deductible when you put it in every year, and then you take it out at the end when you're retiring, and, you know, then it's taxed. But yeah, mutual funds, you know, they have a downside, and just like anything else does, a Roth IRA has a downside too, but it really isn't for retirement, and mutual funds are a good way to hedge your bets. So they don't teach people enough about these products when they go to sell them. They just sell them on the emotional and the triggers that we all have when we're going to go buy something. You know, it's like, oh, you want to protect your family, you don't want, you know, anything bad to happen or whatever. So just keep that in mind. You know, if you're ever going to go out and buy this kind of stuff, buy mutual funds or life insurance, do your research first and learn what you're buying all the way, especially if it's something expensive like cash value life insurance. So I'll get on to the next thing. Moving beyond that review video, in 2015, in 2014, we did $500,000 in sales. And so my e-commerce business was taking off. And in 2015, we were able to sell that business. Early 2015, we took an entire year off after that. We traveled the world, we came back, we got married. And then in 2016, we settled back down again in Long Beach, California, and started a new dropshipping business. I took a course called Dropship Lifestyle, and it taught us how to make a way better converting website and sales funnel, and then use paid traffic to start getting sales right away. And it totally worked. It worked amazingly. I have a review video on my channel about that as well, you can watch. And we did 300,000 in 2016 and another 500,000 in 2017. So it was really incredible what we were able to do with our dropshipping business. In late 2016, I started reading a lot of blogs about becoming more location independent, becoming a digital nomad. And around October, we actually sold all our stuff and left to Thailand and settled in Chiang Mai for a few months. And then we started traveling around. We went to Bali, and then we went to Europe and visited Europe for a while. And then we came back to the States for the summer, hung out with family and stuff like that, saw the East Coast, and then went back out to Chiang Mai. And we're in Chiang Mai now. It's late 2017 now. We plan to do Bali again pretty soon. We're going to do Vietnam and Cambodia. We're going to go visit Malaysia, Philippines. We're going to go visit Hong Kong and Seoul, South Korea and Japan and Australia and all these countries. And then we're going to go back to the States again. And then from there, we're going to go to Eastern Europe, go check out all of the Eastern European countries, and it's just going to be an amazing trip. And you know, it's our lifestyle, and now we have location independent businesses. It's way better. The biggest problem with the MLMs and stuff like that is that it's not location independent. Your success with an MLM pyramid scheme is being physically located where your network is and always recruiting those people. And then you have to be consistently making sales or recruiting, or else you're going to be kicked out of the business structure. No matter how high up you are, even the highest person in the business in WFG named Rich Thalle, this guy who owns so much like land out in Lodi, California, and you know, whatever, he has to have these seminars at his house all the time to train the upper management there, the top leaders in the company. And then he has to, even himself has to be recruiting people into his business line, which I'm assuming he probably just pays to have a few people recruited, because it's only $100, right? You just pay $300 a year and you have three people recruited. But technically speaking, you have to be recruiting people every year, or else you lose your position in the pyramid. And it's this crazy thing, you know, and right at the end of my MLM thing, I actually found myself doing that exact same thing. I wanted to recruit my friend and he didn't want to go. And I said, well, I need one person to join so that I become, you know, the next level up, the senior director, whatever the heck. And I actually paid for his recruitment fee, $100, so that I'd get him on my books. It was the most retarded thing. And I realized at that point that this was a pyramid scheme, that I was having to do that. And that's what a lot of people get sucked into with these pyramid schemes.